All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Stick Harrison Price for Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Coming to you from the Go-Goat Sports Studio, built by Arbor Lee here at the iconic Wall Center, downtown Vancouver, where if you're heading to a game or to an event downtown, make it a staycation. Call the Wall, 604-331-1000. Ask for the Stick Harrison Price rate based on availability. Matt Stick Harrison alongside Blake Price, Grace Ass Hitting Switches, Conducting Things, and a big show coming up for you, all brought to you by Applewood Auto.
Applewood Infinity Langley has one of the cars that has eluded me my entire life. I've always wanted a QX80.
Now I drove behind one yesterday. That's a big boy. Yep. Having been in the QX60, all those children, you need room.
The 2024s.
And they're partners now. They have boyfriends and
that's true.
Girlfriends.
Always a lot
it's
of
amazing.
People. I did a carpool, though, with six field hockey players in the back.
Perfect.
Yesterday. Finance one yourself, the QX80, that is. 0%. What? Today's economy? $8,000 non-stack cash as well. Go check it out. Applewood Infinity in Langley. It's all good at Applewood.
Do you remember the great poll question you once asked in the dead of summer? I'm having another kid. Should I get a minivan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have needed all that space and more over the years. And you get rid of children, and yet still you need space because they partner up or they're on teams, and now you're coaching.
Very polarizing poll question. Those that were in favor were very much in favor. Those that were against were very much against.
Like, no, Blake.
Yes.
Once you go minivan,
you've given up. You
never go back.
Yeah, it's sort of like sweatpants. Like, once you go
it's
to
true.
Sweatpants,
it's true. Once you start wearing sweatpants in public, that says something about you. Tim Horton's poll question today. Who will? Not should. Who will win the Norris Trophy? You can vote for Quinn Hughes. You can vote for Cale Makar. Do so at Sick Harrison Price on Twitter and YouTube. Roll Up to Win is here for Tim's 60th anniversary. You can play on the Tim's app. Daily cash jackpot of $10,000. Win the all-electric Volkswagen ID4 and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app. Roll Up is on till March 31st.
There's a reason why we rolled it out, if you will, like we did, who will, not should, because we wanted just this kind of response. The very first response to the tweet from Jet, they'll find a way to give it to Makar.
Oh.
Whether we like it or not,
no.
We all know it's coming.
No, I disagree. I have been steadfast on this all season long. If Quinn Hughes outpoints Cale Makar and the Vancouver Canucks finish ahead of the Colorado Avalanche,
it will be Quinn Hughes' award. Right now, he has more points. The Canucks have more points as well. Of course, Colorado can get closer.
For now,
the goaltender is down, so we'll see how this next block goes. But if you're asking me right now, it will be Quinn Hughes. I feel confident in my colleagues in the Professional Hockey Writers Association. They recognize the sublime season that Quinn Hughes has. How can you not? Nobody was talking about this team at the top of the West. Even the most optimistic was, maybe we could get the third seed in the Pacific. Maybe we slip into one of the wild cards. No, they have held the lead in the Western Conference for pretty much most of the year. And what's the reason behind that? Quinn Hughes, first and foremost.
Because of this matchup, perhaps, the NHL website, NHL.com, has 14 in-house writers. By the way, that's a lot. 14 in-house NHL.com writers.
NHL.com has 14?
That's what they say. So they cast their vote for the Norris on a 5-4-3-2-1 points scale. The winner, by 16 points, pretty good win, Quinn Hughes. 68 points for Hughes, 52 for Makar, and Noah Dobson in third with 36 points. So it was a two-horse race, but the two-horse race wasn't a photo finish. Hughes won, kind of
so
going away.
I'm not surprised to see that, because when you work at NHL.com or for NHL media, you kind of have a responsibility to cover the entirety of the league.
You're less New York-focused,
do you think? Give love to the entirety of the league. They're based in New York. They're very much focused on New York, I'm sure, in their day-to-day, but when they go on out to do league-wide articles, polls, what have you, I think they like to spread the love. I'm a little more worried about my PHWA colleagues, who are a little less inclined to watch out-of-market games and catch Quinn Hughes and just reflexively vote
that being
for Cale Makar, which is why I think Quinn outpointing him matters. And as we stand here right now, it's Hughes with 76 in 66 games. Makar was 71 in 61 games. Remember, he missed some.
Yeah.
So you do wonder, he's slightly ahead, like 0.01 ahead in points per game. I do wonder if that will make the difference for a few voters. But right now I have faith that it's going to be a Hughes vote.
I have never seen social media as filled with Quinn Hughes talk as this season, though. Particularly in the first half, it's
well, how could you not,
it's
Blake?
Trailed a little bit here in the second half of the season, but my goodness, all of your favorite stats follows.
How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, he's accomplished a lot, and how many times have we brought out he's the first defenseman to do it since blah, 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 and you're like, what?
Every single one of those posts from the NHL or NHL PR,
mm-hmm.
Quinn Hughes, and then names, Bork or Coffee.
Yeah.
Like, surely that's got to be influential, right?
Yeah.
If you're following those accounts, as I imagine most people who cover hockey and vote on this award are, Bork or Coffee. Like, that's the who's who of defensemen in the National Hockey League Hall of Fame, or in the Hockey Hall of Fame. The other thing I think don't discount here, Blake, is the even strength points. Quinn Hughes, 47 even strength points. That's best. That's even a bigger margin over Makar.
Mm.
So it's not like he's just loaded up on points like we have seen some defensemen do in the past with their power play totals.
Well, the other thing is that Bednar goes out of his way to get him out there with Rantanen and McKinnon a lot. Like, more so than,
right.
than you know.
Almost like a Russian five type
right,
of.
Yeah. Right. So, mm-hmm. and that's just, that helps you win games. But in terms of individual trophies, if we're going to, how much of what he does is floated by playing with those guys. Now, you mentioned that last stat, Bork or and Coffee. That was the triple 60 assist seasons.
Right.
And I thought, oh.
Consecutive 60 assist seasons.
Surprised Makar hasn't done that. Makar has never had a 60 assist season.
He scores a few more goals, though.
He does.
He does. He's
although they're only separated by four
cat.
Goals.
He's more unicorny. Yeah. I will grant you that. He's more unicorny. He's had more NHL success, both team and personal. I would also argue he's louder. He's a little more noticeable. He has on most nights.
He has the potential for the spectacular.
But yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
because of the goal scorer.
Although, you know, Quinn in this year and coming down off that point, short side goals, he holds his own on spectacular.
Honestly, Cale Makar's edge worker is really good too. But if you've ever skated, you appreciate Quinn Hughes even more. Like, if you played at all, because you know how hard that edge work is to do, to pull off.
Grady, where are you at on the pull?
Hughes. Very easy peasy.
Very economical today, Grady. Thank you for that.
I'm 50-50 on it, honestly. I'm right on the fence.
Did you vote McCarr? Did you vote McCarr?
I haven't officially punched the button yet. I'm waiting for...
I mean, it's not a slam dunk by any means.
No, of course.
McCarr can go off here and overtake him, but as of right now, I would lean Hughes. Because I have a future.
Again, not opinion. Prediction.
Yeah, prediction. But like we were saying last week in terms of the team MVP, and sadly, I wonder whether Thatcher Demko may have lost his opportunity at that if he misses too many games here, and Miller and Hughes continue to play as they will. There's still a number of candidates that can get there with what's left of the season. That's part of the fun of these
final. In this trophy race? In Norris?
Well, I think it's up to one of those two guys.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
There's enough runway that I think if you've got Quinn ahead right now, McCarr can bypass. If you think McCarr's ahead now, I think Hughes can bypass.
And he's not going to win it, but man, is Noah Dobson having a hell of a season, too.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Canucks fans wanted Noah Dobson for basically Raymond Ballard in a third? We heard a lot about Noah Dobson at one point as the right shot defenseman that was going to cure the Canucks.
Dobson's having Josh Manson's season was it last year where Manson went off?
Manson?
Who am I thinking? Morrissey.
Right? Morrissey. Yeah.
Morrissey
had an incredible
Still a great defenseman.
Right.
But Morrissey had this standout year.
Well, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Morrissey, he's not going to win. But I wouldn't be surprised if Morrissey gets into the discussion a little bit just because he is far and away Winnipeg's best defenseman. They're having a good year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And last I checked, he was doing pretty well in defenseman scoring.
He's seventh, yeah. But he's, 23 points back of Quinn Hughes. 23 points is like a Tanev season. He's a full Tanev back of Quinn Hughes.
Let's get into our top story, life without Demko and the final frontier. The Colorado Avalanche at Rogers Arena on Wednesday night. It is a 7:30 puck drop. And a reminder, we'll be at Park Casino 6 to 7 p.m. at the BC Kitchen doing a live pregame show. J-Pat's going to stop by. You get 15% off your game day menu at BC Kitchen with your game ticket. It's just steps away from Rogers Arena, so come on down, say hello. We'll have some prizes on site. The Vancouver Canucks have beaten every team in the National Hockey League this year, save two. The Philadelphia Flyers, 0-2, and unless they get another crack at them in the Stanley Cup final, that's going to remain the unanswered loss. And the Colorado Avalanche, 0-2 against the Avs, and they've beaten Vegas. There was a time, remember, they hadn't beaten Winnipeg. They'd beaten Winnipeg. It was a time where we looked over across at the Eastern Conference and some of those heavyweights, including the New York Rangers. They've got a win against the Rangers. So they have beaten everybody of consequence, Florida, Boston, Carolina, except for the Colorado Avalanche. The Stanley Cup champion of 2 years ago, who have a couple victories against the Canucks this year, this is their final opportunity, lest they meet in the Western Conference Final, which is where they would meet if both of these teams hold station and are divisional playoff seeds come mid-April.
Wouldn't that be something if they can beat the Avs and it's just John Tortorella and his I'm not leaving-ness that is able to say they conquered the Vancouver Canucks this season? I think that would be something to behold for Torts. It may be all that he has to hold on to at the end of the season.
I don't for a second think that Torts would message anything about his former teams in the games meeting more. Do you think games against his former teams mean more to John Tortorella? especially based on the performance in Tampa where he wasn't leaving?
I would say the answer is yes, but this would be maybe the one exception because he was the one that came That's out right. and said, I was not myself. He almost right. was apologetic about his stay
He should have
here.
Taken the step back after the Rangers. He kind of rushed into this. And
he wasn't himself, he said.
Right.
So,
we were going to hash it out over burgers and beers, and then that never happened.
Now, that being said.
And he was off to coach Columbus, which he coached pretty well, actually, for a number of years there.
Yeah, yeah. Got a lot out of the little again.
Who else has gotten anything out of the Columbus Blue Jackets in their history?
Yeah.
So, Casey DeSmith is going to start, and Tuesday after practice, Rick Tocchet allowed that Casey DeSmith is going to start the next two games, and as we know, the Canucks schedule is a little...
I thought he said few. He got quoted as two by some people.
So, Colorado Wednesday, Ovechkin the Capitals on Saturday, and Tocchet says DeSmith deserves a chance. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, as of now, I mean, we're just going like game to game. I mean, obviously, Casey, if something really bad happens to him, but, you know, he's definitely going to get the next two games. I mean, we'll go from there. But he's going to have some practice time. I think Casey deserves a chance to get the ball and take it, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, but which I think he'll be fine. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes here.
I think that's smart for me and Clark and Rick Tocchet to let him know, on the front end, you're going to get games plural. I'm with you. I think if he had been a little less specific and said a few, then that might have been a little extra confidence shot. But Casey DeSmith has been around the league and also understands that if he goes out and has a couple of stinkers, then coach has to go to the next guy, right?
Yeah, you ain't got time to bleed if you want to finish first, that's for sure. Just the way the calendar sets up, to me, it's three games. It's the few. Colorado, weekend versus the Capitals, next Tuesday versus the Sabres, and then
really?
You get it. Yeah, what do you mean?
Well,
because then you've
it's a 3-day break, and you're facing a bad team in Buffalo.
No, I'm saying give him the few games. Give him all three.
Well,
and then when it gets busy in the middle part of the homestand, give the Montreal Canadiens game to Sheila.
So one of the reasons why I think he's saying two is because if you get through the Washington game, you got 2 days off, then you got a really bad team coming in here. That, to me, would be a spot that I'd be more comfortable playing Archer Shilofs than some of the other spots on the trip. Now, you could argue Montreal's
two nights
worse. Later, the Thursday game, fair enough.
Like, significantly
but, you
worse.
Know, I asked Jay Pat the question yesterday. I thought those two. And then you have Anaheim on the Sunday matinee, Blake. And do you remember last year they put a nothing game between the Ducks and Canucks on TNT late in the year?
Mm-hmm.
That game's on TNT too.
Oh my gosh.
A 12:30 start for us here on Sunday, March 31st. It's the final game of this epic 9-game road trip. So those are your weak sister spots to play the backup goalie.
Do you know that?
And of course, we've known those shoes for many years here with the Canucks. They've seen a lot of backup goalies over the last 9 years.
Canucks just want to get points. Any way to get to 107 points at this point, pardon the points, any way to get to 107 is fine. The Montreal Canadiens have 15 regulation wins.
Wow.
So 50 nights out of 65 against the Montreal Canadiens, you're leaving with points.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you draw a distinction between them and the Sabres.
They give you points. They give you points.
So very generous. You know, once upon a time, they felt guilty. The Stanley Cup parade will take the usual route, collecting all those Stanley Cups, collecting all those Hall of Famers. We're now in a very much more giving era of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, for now.
Used to be selfish, now abundantly generous.
Looks kind of good on them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They had a look in the mirror, a word with themselves.
Yeah. They also had pretty good century last time.
Yeah, they had a pretty good century. This century, not so much.
No.
Of course, no Canadian team has had a particularly
good century. No, it's true.
Here's the other thing about Tocchet. And from the moment Casey DeSmith got here, he was overjoyed. And part of that is because he had a tough year in Pittsburgh. He was part of that trade to Montreal where the three-way trade, right, Grady? Who was involved in it? Jeff Petrie and other pieces, as I recall. And the Canadians immediately said, we have, you know, we will not be keeping this player. We'll be moving him on. Mm-hmm. So to have a bad season, to get traded, and then to hear the acquiring club has no immediate plans for you and just wants to move you and your salary on. He gets here. He sees familiar faces in Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin, Rick Tocchet, and some of these players, of course, who have played for the Pens. So he's been overjoyed to be here. He gets in the opener because Thatcher Demko's sick. They beat Edmonton. He gets the next start. They go into Edmonton. He's under fire, and he pulls that one out of the fire. So it has been a joyful existence here for Casey DeSmith, even during that 1-5-1 stretch that he has now gotten out of. Here's Tocchet on the guys and how they feel about DeSmith.
He's well-liked. The players, you know, listen, I'll be honest, I've been in the league somehow 40 years or whatever. When you like the goalie, you tend to block more shots for a guy. I don't know why. I've had some goalies where you're not a big fan of the guy. I'm not saying I kind of veered out of the way, but when you really like a goalie, you really dive in. Those guys really love Casey. So I think you'll see a lot of guys willing to block shots like they do for Demmer.
That's good honesty on coach. If you like the guy, you're more willing to block the shot for him. Unless you're Chris Tanev, you would block the shot for anybody. I mean, you'd block a street hockey shot for a kid.
Tocchet played for a bunch of good teams.
So what goalie do you think he's talking about when he said some goalies didn't like as much? Because there's one that jumps out to me from the team that he made his name with.
What? You think he didn't like Hextall?
Oh, I think a lot of people didn't like Ron Hextall.
But they did block shots for Ron
Hextall. I think to this day, there's a lot of people who don't like Ron Hextall. Weird dude.
Barrasso?
Tom Barrasso would be another one on the list. It's all in the name Barrasso.
Kelly Rudy.
No.
You got to like Kelly and Grant.
What's Ken Reggett's reputation?
Nikolai Habibulin.
Ken Reggett is...
Milk toast?
Ken Reggett is the Chad Ruby, the Love Pass goalies. We don't need to talk about him.
Oh, Ken Reggett. Come on. He was... And he followed him around, too. Ken Reggett was everywhere.
Burke was well-liked by his
Bob
team.
Essenza.
Oh, I don't know. Arch.
Back up Bob. Everybody loved back up.
Robert Esch.
Yeah.
Most people like Esch.
Yeah.
He's gone into politics effectively in Utica.
Roman Čechmánek.
Weirder dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weirder dude.
Brian Boucher was well-liked.
In media now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Hextall and Barrasso. I wonder. Okay.
Enough of that.
Yes. Grady's getting uncomfortable with talk about...
bad goalies?
Well, yeah. About goalies who are bad people.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a part of the goalie union. Right. I love all goalies equally.
Tyler Myers was on the ice skating with what was a very well-attended morning skate at Rogers Arena. And that's important because that's the second time this week that Myers has joined the group. So that whole 1 to 2 week timeline for Tyler Myers looks like it's coming into fruition. No reason to doubt that.
Stayed late after the
right
skate
now,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put in extra work. So
tonight, but
Saturday looks
good. If not, you would think against his old club, the Buffalo Sabres, one of his old clubs.
That's effectively three practices. I'm assuming they get tomorrow off, and then we'll practice on Friday. So
they'll practice either Friday or Monday.
But they're not going to get 2 days off again. So they got 2 days off here. They're going to practice one day and have a rest day. So he's going to have three practices under his belt. Tyler Myers is playing versus the Capitals.
Okay.
I put strong money on
Speaking
it.
Speaking of Canucks defense, did you guys see this quote from Mark Messier today?
No.
He says he really likes the way the Canucks are built. He said, one of the things I like about the Canucks is that they have a really big, strong defense. Other than some inexperience in Vancouver, you've got to look at their team as being really positioned well to play well in the playoffs.
It's nice of Mark.
Yeah.
Wish I cared.
Well, I've got to say, for as big a name as he is, for the amount of stature he has, particularly in New York City.
Yeah, he's just...
No, but of all the newer studio analysts, or even game analysts that have come on board with ESPN and TNT, I sometimes forget, like, Messi's even a part of them. Like, to me, he's made the least impact of them all.
Is he on TV right now?
Yeah, no, he's on ESPN.
Really?
With PK Subban.
Really?
Yes.
Are you saying his personality is as stale as a Lay's potato chip?
He's Magic Johnson.
That's the other thing. He's a really good actor. Like, he's still doing endorsement deals. As hockey players go, Mark Messier is a terrific actor and pitchman. We wondered about Gretz because he had been so vanilla. And then what we didn't realize at the time is we've gotten a Wayne Gretzky who has gotten to a point in life where he has fewer Fs to give and is willing to come out and give strong opinions.
Yeah, Wayne's got takes.
And Wayne's got takes. And also, Wayne, you know, Wayne used to be in a spot where he knew whatever he said would make headline news, and so it was very cautious. Now I think he sort of relishes it, like, okay, I'm the biggest ambassador, caretaker, and my words carry some weight, and he's telling great stories on those panels.
And he's willing to be the clown, like the MGM exactly. ads with Connor yeah. McDavid, where he's sort of being the, hey, the Nets that way. He's being mm-hmm. the curmudgeon, he's
okay.
And even
his dismissiveness towards some of Biz Nasty's hijinks is funny, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if the dynamic.
Messier, zero impact. Subban is, needless to say, taking up some oxygen there.
The dynamic there, I'm not sure.
You saw
works.
That coming, I think.
Yeah. So anyways, Myers comes back. Blake's predicting Saturday against the Capitals. And that's going to create some tough choices on the defense corps in terms of who to play. And the phrase load management has come up, much as we saw once earlier this season with Ian Cole. Here's Rick talking.
I know, guys don't want to hear it. It's going to be, you got to make sure that you make sure as coaches that you explain to certain guys that some guys might not like it if they're out, but we're at the point of the season where if we got healthy D, you're going to have some good defensemen that are going to sit out. And that's the job of the mentality of the coaches to have to make sure guys understand that you're going to be a good team guy and all that stuff. But I've been there. We've all been there before. You don't want to, everybody wants to play. We're lucky. We have, we got a healthy lineup. Even like Friedman, I mean, he's not playing, but even the games he played, I thought he played good well for us. So it's you got to stay ready.
Even Friedman.
Good honesty. So look, let me throw this at you. We've seen Ian Cole get a load management scratch this year. I'm not sure you're going to do that with Carson Soucy because of how few games he's played.
No.
But if there is anything nagging there, I would suggest he would be a candidate as well. Maybe was Zadorov, but he plays 17 and a half minutes, so it's not like night in, night out. He's hugely taxed. Maybe Tyler Myers gets a load management scratch somewhere down the stretch here. I could see that. What about the top two guys? Does everything have to be locked up before you even consider a load management scratch for Hughes or Hronek?
I mean, game 81, maybe, but we're a ways from that. We're a ways from that. And truthfully, we're a ways from many of these veterans getting the load management scratch until mid-month again.
Because no back-to-backs.
Yeah, the schedule's just so nice for them right now that nobody should be that dog tired. So, I think they do just want to see what six top defensemen looks like in this lineup. They haven't had the benefit of all these six guys being healthy at the same time for very long. So let's see what they look like with all six of them in the lineup. I think he wants to see it.
Absolutely. All six of them in the lineup. We got a full studio here today.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce and Amon from Burt's Electric are sitting in watching the show. One of the great parts about working here in a public foot traffic area like the Wall Center is you will happen upon listeners. So Bryce and Amon have been in here fixing the lights, helping us out in the green room, and just been seeing them all week. They're listeners to the show. So come on in, enjoy it from the comforts of the studio. We've had a great working relationship with Burt's
Electric.
Download
it anyway, please, guys.
Absolutely. Just, yeah, exactly. We can't afford you guys not doing the lesson, but I appreciate you guys and all the help this week and hanging on out in the studio. And thanks to everybody at Burt's Electric who have helped us get this thing together here at the Wall Center in our two locations, our studio and our green room. Thanks, gents. All right. New contracts for Cammy Granato, Emily Castonguay, and Ryan Johnson as the assistants to the general manager. So his star continues to rise. in the Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin administration.
Which is...
and finally, he can point to some results of guys who have been
developed,
in Abbotsford, developed, and turned into NHL players, most notably Nils Höglander.
No, Ryan Johnson, we were told long ago with the previous administration, oh, this guy's super sharp and all. But still, when you are...
in results. I mean, there just weren't a lot of results.
No, but also it's just the pure politics. When the management does change, you could be the greatest guy in the world, but still some new managers will be like, he's not our guy, he's out. Well, they gave Ryan Johnson, the runway to sort of prove himself for them, and they've welcomed him with open arms. And here he is still making inroads in his career. Everything's coming up roses for this team. So it's no surprise that everybody is getting new contracts and a chance to see this through.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if there are any other staff changes afoot here with Canucks Sports Entertainment and the hockey operations department. They've got to get to a point where they've got more stability. There has been a lot of turnover on the hockey ops side, on the business ops side over the years with the Canucks. They got to get to a place where they were back in 2011, back 2012, where you had like best in class professionals heading up all the department, and they were rooted here. They were absolutely not looking elsewhere and willing to stay for long periods of time and give you that sort of institutional knowledge and continuity that can really help any organization.
And so far into their tenure, they have shown like they can get back to that level. I mean, the bar was so low from the regime before.
Yeah, that's it.
That pretty much anything was going to look like an improvement.
Right. And we were all on alert when Derek Clancy, who was an AGM, left last year for the Leafs. Went, oh, okay, what's that about? Anyways, I saw Sergei Chibisov recently. Their Russian scout was let go. And who did he join
Dallas.
Up with? Dallas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyways, we'll see what other changes are afoot with the hockey ops department. You know, typically you get through the trade deadline, maybe you do some things there, or you at least have a plan in place in terms of where you're going after the entry draft and free agency. That's when we tend to see a lot of the turnover in those roles. Just one other thing. You asked about Christian Wolanin on Tuesday's program. I reached out to Ben Lipka.
Hasn't played since January.
Yeah, I reached out to Ben Lipka of the Abbotsford News, who does a great job covering the Abbey Canucks. And he said the last they said on Wolanin was in mid-February, they said it was going to be 3 weeks or so.
Three more weeks, yeah.
Right. So he suspects there's a chance that Wolanin could get in as soon as this weekend. He said it's been tough to tell because they didn't let people attend practice when Phil Kessel was there.
No gawking at Phil Kessel.
No videos of a hunched over Phil Kessel. Wouldn't want to embarrass Phil.
Wow. January 17th, the last game for Christian Wolanin.
Yeah.
So, he'd be handy. And Rick Tocchet has spoken glowingly of Wolanin before. So.
And we bring up that name just because he did pretty well towards the end of last year.
Yep.
There were a lot of people that thought he would be the third pair left side defenseman for a good part of this year.
Also, just a small worry, and it's a microscopic one, I think, but they do probably have to put Friedman on waivers here sometime soon.
Right.
And there's a micro percentage point that somebody picks him up. So
if you lose Friedman on waivers, then your eighth...
Is there no waivers after the trade deadline now?
No, I believe there's waivers.
Yeah?
Yeah. Then you lose... If you were to lose him, then your eighth defenseman, so second man up, after injuries and attrition start in the playoffs, or maybe even the first guy up on the left side, Blake, right? Because unless you're going to play Juleson on the, of course, we could have a scenario where a lefty's already playing the right side, but very well could see a Christian Wolanin at some point if injuries further strike the Canucks.
You just can't play in the playoffs if you're claimed on the waiver wire. So you reduce the likelihood of your guy getting claimed because teams would need just immediate help and only immediate help to claim him.
Let's get to today's menu. It is brought to you by Greta, 50 West Cordova. It's a fantastic spot to pregame, postgame, catch the game all through the season and into the playoffs. Awesome place to chill in the off season as well. Quick walk to the Rinker Stadium, go-to spot for food, drinks, fun. before, after, and during. Check it out. Greta at 50 West Cordova and GretaBar.com. Arcade as well.
Big Mario Kart. Not Mario, Matthew. Mario Kart tourney coming up.
Did I say Mario?
Yes, you did. And we roasted you on Canucks Conversation for that.
Oh, really?
Super yes. Mario? Yeah.
Who was doing the roasting, Grady?
I think I was led by me.
See, he's that kind
is that
of a backstabber.
Where you litigate your grievance against me?
Yeah, exactly.
With Quad. Well, I had to make sure Quads knew how to pronounce it right. So.
Oh, did Quads not know?
No, I just wanted to make sure.
I'm surprised I didn't say Mario.
It's me, a Mario.
I know Wario.
You're more of a
Quads
Wario.
Is too young to even know what Mario, like, truthfully, well,
you
doesn't
think
he?
Quads has a chance with Luigi?
In terms of knowing him?
Knowing who Luigi is?
Yeah, probably not.
Luigi sort of faded as a character in Mario's world.
No, he was there for...
No, he was there. He was OG.
Yeah, no, he was...
Outside of Princess. But then, you know, as they introduced more and more of a Toad and...
No, Super Mario
who's
World,
the,
he's
who's
there.
The dragon? No, I...
Princess Peach and
who's who's the
thinking of Bowser?
Bowser, thank you. Bowser's Castle and Wario, and there was others. Luigi,
Toad,
sort of, exactly. Yoshi, he sort of faded into original Mario
oh,
Kart.
Almost said it.
I would take any of you on in OG Mario Kart with Yoshi or Toad.
What's
you've
that?
You've got no chance.
Super Nintendo?
I believe
64?
So.
64.
No,
kicking both
no, I don't want 64.
GameCube?
No, I want Super Nintendo. Once we get into too many buttons, I can't do it.
I want
Once
speed.
I have to use paddles,
I want break,
I'm done. I just
I
need,
want left,
I
right.
want two buttons, and then I'm
Simpleton.
I'm in the game. It's true. Irf Ghaffar is going to join us. We'll get to some hashtags, the best and worst of Twitter, including... A former Vancouver Giant making his NHL debut. The Flames having to walk away from a draft pick. It has not been a good year for Calgary Flames players and impropriety. And lo and behold, we have a new leader in the Macklin Celebrini sweepstakes as well.
Connor Bedard's just too good. He's lifting the Hawks.
That's right.
Out the basement.
So all that's coming up. Irf Ghaffar is next. Happy Hour brought to you by Yellow Dog Brewing, Neighborhood Brewing. And how about this? Tuesday, March 12th, Yellow Dog releasing their second mix pack, Dog Park. The Dog Park 8 Tall Can Mix Pack consists of four light and refreshing beers, the classic Retriever Golden Ale, Rollover Cerveza Negra, and two brand new brews exclusive to the mix pack, Rascal Japanese Lager, and Pack Leader Pilsner. Sounds delicious. Treat yourself the end of a work day to a Yellow Dog, Neighborhood, or Foolish Wine. I like it.
Wow.
It's new.
We haven't used this before.
Shout out DJ J Swing. Everyone at the Hollywood Theater. We'll see you April 20th. Bro, do your playoffs. Well done, Grady. Scarce price.
He didn't compose that.
No, I understand that.
Oh, okay.
But he selected it. Hey, Mr. DJ.
Yeah, it's so hard just to press a button, you know?
Yeah, this is
no,
good. Good work.
Am
good
I wrong?
Work
have, we,
on the quest.
Have we ever...
Spice it up. Change it up from time to time.
Have we ever heard that one?
It's been a while. I think we have, but it's been a while.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
Okay. We are allowed to use it?
Great question. Yes.
Oh, boy. So don't draw attention to it?
Yeah, exactly. No sudden movements.
Okay.
Just be quiet.
Sakaris Price, nothing to see here. Presentation, Applewood Auto Group.
It's all good.
Plenty to see at Applewood.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Especially at Applewood Mitsubishi at the Richmond Auto Mall. I drive the 2024 Outlander plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, and right now you can too, with rates starting from 4.99% plus the industry's best warranty. Can't remember my last visit to the pump, folks. Check it out. It's all good at Applewood.
Tim Horton's poll question today: who will, not should, but who will win the Norris Trophy? Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, you can vote at Sakarison Price on Twitter and YouTube. Speaking of Twitter, hashtags the best and worst of Twitter.com. Blake, lead us off.
All right. Well, let's go to this one from the basketball world. At NBA history, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander recorded his 48th 30-plus point game tonight. The most in a single season. You were thinking career when I said that, weren't you?
Yes.
The most in a single season in franchise history, passing Kevin Durant.
Do they recognize the Sonics history?
I don't know if that's part of their recognition. I would guess, yeah. Franchise history, yeah. Yeah, I would guess they do. And, you know, I saw many people respond. Like, Kevin Durant is amongst the... Never mind best players in NBA history, because that's certainly debatable.
Elite scorer.
But scoring. Oh. If you're just looking at scoring.
KD, especially young KD.
Like, elite scoring.
Filled it up.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, we're talking, like, Canada once again.
No, I know.
Has one of the top five players in the world. They really do.
Many have said that if Canada winds up playing the United States in Paris in the Olympics, the best player on the floor will be
on the Canadian side.
Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah.
Yeah.
That those who are better than him in the league right now are Euros.
Matt, I was looking at the NBA stats the other day. Let's see if it has held true. This was
Giannis.
Well, the offensive leaders. Points per game.
Jokic.
No Americans in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
Doncic, Shai, and Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
Rebounds. Okay, it's changed. Davis is now third, but it was Sabonis, Gobert, and Jokic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Assists they've got. Blocks they don't. Wembanyama's got blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the Americans are
Victor
are
will
ground.
Have blocks for the next 15 years.
Yes.
Just ink that in.
Yeah.
For Victor.
But even assists.
I mean, he's five blocks in 28 minutes a night. He's ridiculous.
Americans have the 1-2 spots mm-hmm. in assists. 3, 4, 5 are non-Americans. Mm-hmm. Like, the Americans are losing ground here in the basketball world.
They are. And frankly, I think they know it.
Yeah.
At Randy Sportak, covering the Calgary Flames. It's been a tough year for Calgary. Flames draft pick has his contract terminated by the club, by club team in Finland. The Flames would follow suit with after Tappara. Toppy Ronnie received a one-year suspended sentence from a district court for rape, which happened when he was a minor. He was Calgary's second-round pick, 59th overall in the 2022 entry draft, a Finnish centerman, and they renounced their rights to him this morning.
Tapping for the Calgary Flames, given what's happened lately.
You may remember they have one of the players involved in the World Junior London investigation, and they didn't quite handle that.
Like it's happened.
No.
No. No, exactly.
No.
At Arda O'Call from ESPN, Austin Matthews has 54 goals so far this season, and not one of them is an empty net goal.
You're kidding me.
Here is every
not a single one.
He goes on to say, here's every 60 plus goal season in NHL history with zero empty net goals. Matt, there's nine of them.
There's nine?
Nine of them, including Brett Hall's 86.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
This is it.
That sounds inconceivable to me.
To me, this does run the risk of not just being thorough enough.
Now that I think of it. What are the chances you have Brett Hull or Austin Matthews protecting a lead?
A one-goal lead.
Right?
Well, no, Matthews can.
No, but sometimes it's a two-goal lead with the goalie out.
Right.
Which is
the best position, yeah.
Right.
So three.
Or you go several, you know, you go through several shifts.
But there's some good players that you would have thought would have been up there. Brett Hull's three of Brett Hull's 70-plus seasons are there, 86, man. 70, and 72. Phil Esposito's 76. Two of Mike Bossy's 60-goal years, Guy Lafleur's 60-goal year, Steve Schutt's 60-goal year. Like, none of those guys you have out protecting a one- or two-goal lead with an empty net? It seems inconceivable.
Okay. So I just looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
NHL record for empty net goals in a season.
The most?
Shared. Two players. Who are they? How many goals?
Do they get to double digits?
No.
Eight.
Nine. Hmm. Ovechkin, just a few years ago.
See, like, why is Ovechkin out there with versus these guys?
That's what surprised me.
Yeah.
Grady, care to guess at the other one? Empty net goals. I'll give you the season. 99-2000. Nine empty net goals.
99-2000.
Luke Robitaille.
Pavel Datsyuk.
No, close with the early. Pavel.
Zetterberg.
Burry.
Oh.
Mm.
That was Burry as a Panther?
Yep.
Or was it first year Ranger?
Oh, yeah. Might have done by that point, yeah.
No, Burry's a Panther. Year he scored 58.
So he did very close to being the mirror image of this stat, basically.
At Senators, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. It was probably the coolest night of my life. That is the quote from former Vancouver Giant Zach Ostapchuk after making his National Hockey League debut. It's funny. He was a second-round pick of the Senators, and we had a meeting. We recently after that draft, going into the next season, with Ronnie Toigo, and Ronnie had mentioned to us, yep, I already hear there are some teams that are kicking themselves for not going Ostapchuk earlier than they did. Because remember, he slid to the second round, 39th overall in the 2021 entry draft, despite having some buzz around him as a first rounder. He played 213 games with the Vancouver Giants. That is a hell of a, including the postseason. And he's going to get an awful lot of runway on a team that is not going to the postseason, has been through a long losing streak, and is just surrounded by vultures circling there, that franchise.
He also dropped Matt Rempe in a fight, which is pretty impressive considering Rempe is, well, he's not a heavyweight.
I'm just surprised Rempe wasn't suspended for
6'3", 205. What's Rempe come in? 6'8"?
I think Rempe's 6'6 and change.
The Rempire State Building.
Yeah. Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah.
Well, at Globe KPD, Rempe, 4-game suspension for that elbow. That's 40% of his career game total to date. Just masterful, as KPD says.
6'8", 240.
Is he 6'8", 240? Oh, my God.
He's got to smarten up.
I'm tired of his Rempe storyline.
Oh, of course.
I'm tired of it.
Of course.
Whether it's fighting or these hits,
he's a danger to
be out of the league in no time.
And honestly,
NHL.com lists him at 6'7", 241.
Do you expect him to see any action in the NHL playoffs, especially after the first round? Like, I think they probably use him a little bit in the first round, but
yeah,
I doubt it.
Yeah. I could see
they're
them.
They're not going to trust him in the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Who are they going to play? Are they anticipating a tough series? Because that'll give coach license.
That's right.
He'll play. So they'll probably play a wild card, right? They're going to win the
Islanders.
Carolina's four back. Oh, you know if they're playing the Islanders, Rempe's playing in that series.
Again, you play the opening game or two to set tone, but he's not playing in games 5 through 7. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny. I was out for dinner last week, the week before. And a hockey fan I've recognized came up and said, this is his first question, hey, what do you think of this Rempe guy? He has certainly made his mark on the league and on fans everywhere because you just don't see a lot of these style players anymore.
No.
Let alone in a physique that's 6'7", 240. Is it my turn or yours? Oh,
yours.
Okay. At SLS Hockey, Stephen Ellis. Covering hockey prospects.
Daily faceoffs.
Daily faceoff, indeed. With the Chicago Blackhawks victory today, Tuesday, the San Jose Sharks now have the best lottery odds to land the first overall pick and Macklin Celebrini. It's funny, I was talking with a lapsed Sharks fan yesterday. He said to me, he goes, no, I've totally checked out of this season. There's nothing worth watching this year. And he was asking me about Macklin Celebrini. Look, either way it falls, if it's San Jose or Chicago, There's some deliciousness here. Number one, if he goes to San Jose, he's a former San Jose Junior Shark. That's where the family lives now with Rick, his father, of course, working for the Golden State Warriors. Got a younger brother at home there as well, alongside mom. Or if he goes to Chicago, it's the two Vancouver first overall prodigies, right? Playing on the same team. And I would suspect when they need a goal, Macklin Celebrini in the middle, Connor Bedard on the wing. The new Taves and Kane in Chicago. And Macklin draws a lot of sort of Jonathan Toews comparisons, and Connor Bedard has some Patrick Kane to him. Do you want to get him to another team, Blake? Is that what I'm seeing? I'm looking at your face, and you're not picking up what I'm putting down.
I don't want to see it.
I'm not sure you hear my mouth here.
I think there's going to be somebody else that wins the lottery.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anaheim? I don't want him to go to Anaheim. They already got a bunch of great young forwards.
Do they, though?
Columbus, you just get lost.
The Arizona Coyotes.
No. No. Montreal just had a first overall. They've had so many great players in their history.
Honestly, I don't
care. Honestly, give him to the Senators. That would be he's playing in Canada. He's a little, you know, it's clearly a C market, but maybe he puts that franchise on his back. But
I don't care where
he goes. The odds, Blake, are going to be hugely in the favor of the Hawks or the Sharks.
I don't want him to go to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
No,
all that is holy, not send him to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Rick Nash was a hell of a player, especially young Rick Nash. Bull in a china shop, Rick Nash.
Yeah.
But you never saw him.
No.
And you certainly didn't see him in the Stanley Cup playoffs,
and
was too bad. It's almost like Rick Nash was the toy you unwrapped at the World Championships and the Olympics. Oh, my God, is he good.
If there's ever an excuse to rig the draft, it is this year to make sure Celebrini doesn't end up as a Columbus Blue Jacket.
I would add Anaheim Duck as well, Arizona Coyote. And that's hashtags for today.
No matter what you're buying, folks, when you're out in the world looking for this, that, and the other, I think you want to support businesses that you feel good about supporting. You can feel good about supporting the Applewood Auto Group. They've made the car business and communities around them a whole lot better with their work in the community. Go and find out why it is indeed all good at Applewood. Visit them online anytime at applewood.ca.
Joined now by Irfan Ghaffar, who's been busy since the National Hockey League trade deadline. We'll get to that in a second, Irf, but Philip Hronek, the Vancouver Canucks, tabled him an offer. What are you hearing about the details there and how it went over?
Probably in the $52 to $54 million range. I mean, the Canucks said they believed it was a fair offer for Philip Hronek. I'm not entirely sure that the agent or the player were all too pleased with it or thought it was a fair offer from their point of view. I mean, look, the ask for Philip Hronek was always going to be in and around the $8 million range. You look at his comparables, you know, some of those guys are getting paid that much money. But when you really look at it, Philip Hronek has been a beneficiary of Quinn Hughes. And that's not a slight on him. Guys play with Hughes, Quinn Hughes gets guys paid. Look at Luke Shen, made some money, right? So when you look at this, I just don't know that the Canucks are willing to go that high. I'm not entirely sure that, you know, Philip Hronek's a guy that can necessarily drive his own pair. Great defenseman. The Canucks paid a premium to get him. And, you know, from his point of view, are they going to pay the premium to keep him here? And that's the big question.
Well, on that note, are you not pot committed with this defenseman, given that you gave up first and second round picks and given that he's kind of been the linchpin to your season here in terms of turning it around?
Well, I mean, when you look at it from that point of view, it's you gave up this much. How are you not going to, you know, re-sign him? I mean, the Detroit Red Wings were never going to re-sign him because they knew, you know, he was going to cost this much or whatever the price would end up being. I think at the end of it, they do get something done. I think that, you know, he does want to remain a Vancouver Canuck, but not at that price cost, like not at $8 million a year. I mean, maybe seven, but then even guys, you look at it, $7 million defenseman are, you know, few and far between in the National Hockey League. And when you look at them, they are the studs. If you're getting paid $7 million or more, you know, you're of the Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, you know, Jacob Trouba-esque, the guys that go and you're able to drive your own pairing. I'm not entirely sure that, you know, when you really look at the numbers and get down to it, Philip Roenick's able to do that.
That's about to change, though.
That's going
to
change.
That's about to change. For sure. Like with the changing economics, I mean, the guys that are just graduating their contracts now that are near the top of the league, that is bound to change. Now, if you're going to move on, like if they reach an impasse, and they're not there yet, folks, but if they reach an impasse, I mean, the Canucks can only go one of two ways. Like, they're not going to trade. They need to trade for another right-hander, don't they? Like, they can't go out on the open market and try to find another right-hander. The only way that you recoup this is by trading for another right-hander, and that'll either be an inexperienced right-shot defenseman or an older one that somebody's trying to get out from under. And, like, again, this is not a scoop. I'm just saying, like, maybe the Blues want to get out from under Parayko. And so, you know, you get them to eat some salary and you're committed to Parayko then for six more years, something like that. But that's not a position that you're not in a position of strength at this point if you reach an impasse with Roenick.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? You look at the UFA defensemen that are here or that are available that are right shot defensemen. Of them in points, Brandon Montour's first. He's probably going to stay in Florida with the Panthers. Second on that list, guys, is Tyler Myers in points. So right shot defensemen putting up numbers are few and far between that are unrestricted free agents in the National Hockey League. So if you can, you know, the Canucks might have to buck up a little bit here. And obviously this is why it's a negotiation and it's going to go back and forth. But the first initial offer definitely I don't think was received too well.
No, it's a great point, Blake. You're either going to have to settle for unproven or overpaid because there's not anything on the free agent market, and you don't have the trade capital to go out and make another Philip Roenick style trade. Okay, so then let me just ask you this, Irv. Do you think the Canucks ultimately have to get to 7.85, the Hughes number, and just say, look, Philip can't pay more than Quinn Hughes. 7.85 is as far as we can go?
I think so. And I think that from Philip Roenick standpoint, like, how are you not signing that all day?
Right.
Right. You like, if the bag that they offered you was only $54 million and they're willing to go up to 7.85 times eight, I'm signing that every single day of the week. You're not as good as Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes is going to get paid in 3 years again. It's going to be a lot more money than you're making now, but this is the most money at this point in time in his career that he will ever see. So if that ends up going that high, you know, I would be shocked if he didn't sign that.
Taking away Vancouver by season, 7.5 a year. Isn't that a fair offer for Philip Roenick, given what he is absolutely. That we talked about? Like, I don't even know that you need to match it to Quinn Hughes. If I'm Alan Walsh, or if I'm the Canucks, I could talk to Alan Walsh about this. I think you can make it. Again, the agents can say that we're still not taking it. They've got that within their purview. But 7.5 seems pretty fair, isn't it?
Yeah,
I agree. Over 8 years. Like, yeah. I don't think that, you know, obviously he's having an incredible season. And the things that he's doing with Quinn Hughes, and you know, you're going to base some of this stuff on some of the success that they do have in the postseason. And, you know, if the Canucks make it far and Philip Roenick, you know, does want to stay and then things like that. And, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't, but he wants to stay for what he's worth. 7.5, like, I agree, like that for him is more than fair.
Well, especially since Elias just left a little on the table too, right? Like, you can mention that to him as well. Now, you don't think he can drive his own pair, huh? I'd like your
I'm not super convinced on it either. Yeah.
Boy, do we all wish the coaching staff would at least give him an opportunity to? Like, it's something that was a very popular narrative earlier in the season.
I'm not denigrating the player.
Let's see him outside of Hughes and really know what we have before the contract becomes a thing, and yet we're running out of runway.
I guess we have to define what drive your own pair looks like, though. Like, we've been spoiled here with Quinn Hughes. Like, that's driving a pair. You know, I don't know that if that's the bar, not many are reaching it, right?
No, I agree. But I think that when you look at it, when Quinn Hughes was put with Noel Juulsen and Philip Roenick went and played with Nikita Zadorov, you really didn't notice that bottom pairing. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. So sometimes you don't notice those guys and because they're doing things that are well. But if you're not noticing a guy on your bottom pairing and you're going to want to pay him $7.5 million a year, there's something to be said about that.
When we spoke last week, or if we were talking about the potential of, you know, big deadline additions, right? Like, they were in for some very big names at one point. And we're through sort of the deadline season, if you want to roll it back to Tanev. And of course the deal they made for Elias Lindholm. They wind up with nothing. They wind up with nothing. How did all of that go down?
Well, you got to go back to the Elias Lindholm trade, right? They make it at the end of January. That's their splash. That's the one where we're all sitting here days after saying, whoa, this is the all-in move for the Vancouver Canucks. But then over the course of the next month they played, they you know, didn't have a good February. And then you said, okay, now the Canucks need to add something. And they need to add something, whether it's a top nine forward, I know that they would have liked to have that done, or whether it was Blake, as you mentioned, maybe another right shot defenseman, or at least a depth move in some regard. They didn't do that. Patrick Alvin said that, you know, he believed he was in on a lot of the conversations. I do think that, you know, Tyler Toffoli thought it was Vancouver or Nashville, ultimately ends up in Winnipeg. But I just think that, you know, if you, Elias Lindholm, if he was playing well, was a point of game guy, I don't think we'd be having the conversation that we're having right now saying the Canucks didn't do anything, right? Everyone around the Vancouver Canucks in the Western Conference got better. Every single team. And obviously we know what Vegas did, and that's just a little crazy to be completely honest. But that's Vegas doing Vegas things. I think when you look at it, if you're a Canucks fan, you say, okay, this is the team that we have. But if there was an opportunity to get better for another depth option, that's what the fan base probably would have.
And I get the fans, those who are using the coping mechanism of Lindholm was our deadline addition. And
yeah,
you know, the team's playing well. We didn't have but the fact of the matter is, Canucks management went from pursuing some of the biggest names on the block to getting nothing. So, you know, for me, that they recognized something that needed improvement and weren't able to achieve it. What did you make of deadline and the teams around Vancouver, and how much more difficult the slogging has gotten here in the Western Conference?
I mean, just to start with the Winnipeg Jets and Tyler Toffoli, they got the highest score that was available. Right? The guy that's put the puck in the net a lot. Now he's going to go play with his buddy Iafallo. And obviously, you know, he has some familiarity there with a lot of those guys. The Edmonton Oilers got better. If that experiment ends up working out with Adam Henrik and Sam Carrick, that's going to look good. The Vegas Golden Knights, no surprise. And everyone in the National Hockey League is, picking up their jaws off the floor after they picked up Thomas Hertl. Dallas, you know, Christopher Tanev, that was a name that we've talked about on this show. And I'm sure a lot of others did, of a player that thought that the Vancouver Canucks were going to get. And then, you know, you look at some of the other teams, Colorado Avalanche, who the Canucks are going to welcome tonight to Rogers Arena. They basically built an army, right? You get rid of Bowen Byram and you get Casey Mittelstadt. We haven't seen trades like that happen. Now, from the Vancouver Canucks perspective, I think that, you know, after the deadline, they go in on Saturday and you beat up on the Winnipeg Jets handily. If they can play that type of hockey down the stretch here and heading into the playoffs, it is going to be it'll probably be a pretty good thing for the Canucks. On the other side of that, you're going to be playing against a Vegas Golden Knights team, or maybe a team that, you know, like the Seattle Kraken or the Nashville Predators, who are going to be playing for their lives. And Vegas, if their acquisitions come back, as in Thomas Hertl, and, you know, you get Mark Stone in the first round of the playoffs, that's going to be scary.
Are we seeing Mark Stone first round of the playoffs? Are we seeing him game one, Irfan, with the Kevin Nash meme ricocheting around our heads, and Roberto Luongo's tweet, because he seems a little upset about the loading up of LTIR. I do wonder whether we're going to see LTIR tweaked in the next CBA based on what we saw here with Vegas.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some tweaks, but let me be completely honest, guys. LTIR for the Vegas Golden Knights didn't affect the Seattle Kraken blowing a third period lead at home on home ice yesterday and losing in overtime to the Vegas Golden Knights. They didn't even have Mark Stone. They didn't even have Thomas Hertl. So as much as you want to talk about it, yes, the cap management and all that kind of stuff and whatever the Vegas Golden Knights are doing, they're using it to their advantage. I do think you're going to see Mark Stone. Whether it's game one or two, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but a lacerated spleen seems like it's something that you're going to have to be very careful with, you know, when coming back from injury, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. So it's very, very early.
I'm not taking anything away from the Canucks. They've had a marvelous season and they've entertained us throughout. Do I have to apologize for not having full faith that they have the pedigree of the Avalanche or the Golden Knights, who, as you say, really flexed muscle yesterday? Like, the Avalanche second period was something to behold. You know, is it wrong to have doubts about this team, given that they're at 91 points?
They've had a couple of to behold periods or games recently.
Yeah, I mean, you just named the last two Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and both teams got better at the deadline by purely on paper. Both teams got better. So if you're the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, you're happy with your team. You hope Dakota Joshua comes back. You hope Thatcher Demko's able to get this rest in this extended period. I know he's going to take care of his injury and rehab it, but you hope the rest is going to help him as well. I mean, getting him off the ice is probably the best thing, but this is your team now. So this is the focus. There's no more deadline talk. There's no more talk surrounding Elias Lindholm, if or when he's going to be moved at the deadline. I know there was some of that that obviously affected the player when you hear his name. Rick Tocchet admitted it as well, but this is your team. So from the Vancouver Canucks perspective, it's now time to figure it out. You know, you've got to iron out all the details in here before you get into April.
This won't be the last time I say
this. Colorado is their final frontier as the one playoff team they haven't beaten yet in the West.
This is not the last time I'm going to say this, but it seems to me, what do you think of this theory, guys, that teams that have made the playoffs for the first time in a long time, or cores made, that first year or like the third and fourth year are the times. Like the second year, not necessarily a great year. Yeah, you have some experience, but often there's a step back. That first year where you don't know any better, are you as likely to have a good run there as you are in year four where you've gelled?
I can get behind that. Remember that Edmonton magical run, Blake?
That's
and
right.
Then they came back and missed the
Hurricanes. The Hurricanes did well, I believe, in their first year of sort of being in this core together. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Irv? Too dumb to know any better?
Well, the bubble's a lot different than it is going to play in Vegas, you know, game three or four. And, you know, when crowds get on you and teams get on you, the core of this team really hasn't been around that environment. Now, look, I'm not saying that they can, and you might be right, too dumb to know. But, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be an atmosphere that a lot of these guys have never experienced before, to be completely honest. And it's something that I'm interested in, right? You know, you look at this team and the way that they've been the big dogs. You get everyone's Game 7 Stanley Cup final every single night that they play you. There's a target on your back when you walk into rinks when you're this good. And for the most part, they've handled it pretty well. So we'll just have to see what happens in April.
Hurricanes 18-19 went to the conference finals for a first year making the playoffs.
Yeah. How do you think Casey DeSmith will do here when given the starters' workload?
Well, I think that for him, it's an opportunity. And I mean, you look at after tonight, their strength of opponent really isn't all that high. So if Casey DeSmith can hold his own and the Canucks can play half a game as good as they did against the Winnipeg Jets, you know, you're going to have some success. They're not playing any back-to-backs. They're going to have a couple nights off in between games. You're at home, so there is no travel. And, you know, we've talked about it before. We've talked about it before. Guys play a little bit better and a little bit harder when their backup goalie's in net. Now, whether they think he's not that good, where DeSmith has been pretty good this season for the most part, except his run of recently, but I think it's going to be just fine for him.
Think we'll see Shiloffs at any point?
I don't know. I don't think, look, I don't know if the Canucks are in the position right now to reward guys. I know, you know, Archdeep Baines, and he earned it. You know, he was the AHL All-Star MVP. I think if Shiloffs is going to be a little bit different, I don't think you're going to need to give DeSmith any rest when you're playing, you know, every second or third night. You're getting that practice time. You're getting that rest time. I think that points are still a premium, and the Canucks want to finish the top of the division.
Mm. What do you think of Lindholm getting over hearing his name in trade rumors for the Vancouver Canucks? Because needless to say, an irregular situation to trade for a guy and then have the guy hear his name in rumors 15 games later.
Well, I think the one thing it affected him, I don't think there was any secret of that. The week leading up to the deadline, when the report came out that, you know, and making calls about Boston and things like that, I don't think it was any secret that it affected the player and, you know, the family as well and things like that. The Canucks acquired him and he was on the air. He was in the air coming back from Cabo. He hasn't been here yet, basically, for an extended period of time. Hasn't really had line mates that have been consistent. I know he's playing with Garland and Paul Colson now, which has kind of been a little bit of a line, and they've been able to do a few things well. It's going to be interesting, right? I think that they do like him. I think that both the player and management understand that he needs to play a lot better. And he also needs to play a lot better in the back of his mind because he's an unrestricted free agent. If you're going to want to go get your $8.5 million or what have you, you know, you're going to need to play better. You're going to need to show other teams that down the stretch run, you can be depended on. You need to go back and try and be that guy that put the puck in the net 40 times in your career. So I do expect a motivated Lindholm the rest of the season. We're going to hopefully maybe see some power play time for him if they decide to tweak things again and load up as we head into the playoffs. But I expect him to play a little bit better.
Does that rumor kill any chance of him becoming a Canuck going forward?
I don't know if it kills any chance. I know that there really has been no negotiation talk. And that was their message from the very beginning, that there wouldn't be until the end of the season. And then by that account, you know, Lindholm's going to take a look at what he feels that he wants to do, what's right for him and his family. And the Vancouver Canucks are really going to have to decide if you're going to pay three centers that much money.
Yeah. And the way he's wound up deploying him, that becomes, I think, the biggest issue here, even perhaps more than the trade rumors and him having to get over that, is that he's signing up to be a third line center in the near term. And I'm just not sure you're going to be able to convince.
They're going to point to that points column and say, that's a third line center.
Yeah. And he's going to point to like 20 other suitors and say,
yeah,
I'd play first or second line there.
Yeah, probably
and
true.
Score a lot more points.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Chandler Stephenson, and by only unfortunate, Chandler Stephenson's going to point and say, I got one of these. So that's the thing, right?
Is he one of the coveted centers on this UFA class?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's going to be a guy there as well.
So you're telling me it's as deep as the right shot defense free agent class. and then against Stephenson, he's a very good player. I thought perhaps a little miscast in his role there in Vegas, playing as high up the lineup, but give him full credit for turning into the hockey player that he's turned into. I see he's played some wing there as well in Vegas this year, and he's a terrific player with the Stanley Cup ring. So Earth's right, he's going to get paid as well. Hey, these guys, the scarcity of unrestricted free agents in this league drives the price up on all of them.
Yep.
We've seen that year after year. You have to go down the pecking order to the Pew Suter level of player before you find any bargains in unrestricted free agency. Irf, awesome stuff. Thanks for this, buddy. We'll catch up next week.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you. Be well.
Sakaris Price from Wall Center, presentation Applewood Auto Group. You can text us 778-402-9680. And Saturday, April 20th, 12 noon to 5 p.m., join us at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano for Bro Do Your Playoffs, a media event looking forward to our city's return to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in 9 years. And remembering the legacy of our friend Jason Botchford. It's a fundraiser on behalf of the BC Mental Health Foundation. Going to raise some money there. Catherine Botchford is coming out from Toronto to speak at the event. So looking forward to that. There'll be some media panels, live performance from our friends, the Matinee. Should be a fantastic time. We'll have ticketing information coming up for you here in the coming days. But save the date, April 20th. 12 noon to 5 p.m.
We should clarify, too, 12 Saturday. To 5 open doors. It's not a five-hour performance.
No. Doors open at 12.
Yeah.
DJ J Swing needs his room back shortly after 5, so that's when we throw you out.
But you don't have to sit still looking at the stage for 5 hours. That would be a lot.
Mingling.
Yes. Yeah.
Music. Speakers. Good times had by all. Be a food truck outside. Take all sorts of selfies.
We're trying to add to the festive mood of the playoffs.
Right, exactly. It's worth a party. Jay Swing called me in January. Goes, Matt, I'm so stoked about the playoffs. What you say on your show all the time, there's nothing like a Canadian city. The crackle, the energy, the excitement when it's in the playoffs. Let's do a party. And sure enough, we put our heads together, got thinking about it, realized that we were days away from the 5th anniversary of the passing of Jason Botchford in and around that first week of the playoffs on the Saturday. And so we decided, let's get things together here. Let's do a night, have some fun, celebrate, raise some money in the name of a good cause and in the name of a fallen colleague. So anyways, looking forward to that. April 20th, doors at 12.
There you go.
Program just short of 5. And then, you know, linger a little bit past 5, and then Jay will throw you up.
Mm-hmm. Onto the street.
Which is a really good street, actually. I live right close to there, as you know, Blake.
As you would call it, Greek Town.
There is, it's known as Greek Town. You may not know that. It's true. Look at a map. Google Maps it. All sorts of great restaurants around there and other establishments if you want to keep the party going. All right?
I'm not doing that. I'm not taking your bait.
Blake is going to be on stage telling stories. Look forward to it. Okay. Seahawks. The good news here is that they have finally signed other teams' free agents.
That have played four games.
The bad news is it's backup center Nick Harris, a former UW Husky, and poor Ryan Henderson, Pharaoh Brown, or Paroa Brown, as he once said famously. A reserve tight end, mostly special teamer with the New England Patriots. They former Oregon Ducks. So they got a Husky and a Duck here. They also re-signed Artie Burns, the corner. They have lost quarterback Drew Locke to the New York Football Giants. And Blake, that further clues us that they'll be drafting a quarterback here.
Yeah.
And probably reasonably high based on the...
they don't have a second rounder, though, do they?
Paucity of quarterbacks on the roster.
They've got two-thirds. I don't think they've got a second.
Well, they traded it for Leonard Williams to the Giants, whom they have already re-signed. So that was not just a second-round pick out for a rental. They traded their second-round pick, which is 47th overall, to the Giants.
So if they're pretty sure Penix is going to last, do they trade down and try to get a second?
I don't think Penix is going to last till the third.
No.
Oh, you mean to the 16th overall pick?
When they get to 16, if they still feel like there's not a lot of appetite for Penix, do they trade down to 25?
It's a great question.
And get a second rounder in addition to 25 and try and get Penix at 25?
There's probably a world where they're having that calculation. It's risky because, you know, quarterbacks tend to go earlier than they should.
Yeah.
Teams tend to trade up for quarterbacks. I would suspect they're going to get some clues on Penix based on how things go with certain picks in front of them, namely the Minnesota Vikings at 11, the Denver Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13. They've said Gardner Minshew is coming in to compete to be the starting quarterback, but we shall see. There's a lot of teams in front of them that could well go quarterback, so who knows? Maybe there's a world where Penix isn't available to them. Maybe it's J.J. McCarthy. Maybe it's none of the above. I also do wonder, there have now been a couple of NFL reporters who are connecting Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback, to Seattle. That, okay, there may not be a pure starting position available for Fields anywhere, but it may be a situation where he comes in and competes or comes in as in a backup to an older quarterback. So I do wonder where they're at on that. You would have to think that John Schneider and new coach Mike McDonald want to get the quarterback of the future in place now, because if you're doing that later in your tenure, it's a great way to get fired. You probably feel like, I don't want to call it a free year, but I would suspect that both Schneider and McDonald will be back in 2025, regardless of how this season goes. I mean, it would have to be an outright disaster, I think, for either of those gentlemen not to stay in post beyond this season.
Now, Jordan Love was always the number two, right, behind Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
He never had to sit as the three.
Maybe the first year, Blake, I don't remember, but
my point is if you're drafting a late first round, and it would be a mid to late first round quarterback,
mm-hmm.
How pissed off are they going to be to be behind Fields and Geno
Smith?
Think
I don't think they can be pissed off at all. If you're Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, you probably feel if you're going with the first three picks, you should start.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, Blake, it wasn't that uncommon to take a guy that high and put him on mothballs for one.
So I think,
you know, let him learn, let him see the game, see how professionals prepare. But once you're into the mid to late first round, I mean, there's so many examples of guys in that spot being thrown in the fire and just not working out.
As far as I can tell, Love was always the number two. He even started a game as a rookie because of injury. So, yeah, I you know, it'd be a little bit of a weird setup if they went after Fields as well as drafting a guy. But
speaking of Jordan Love's former teammate,
yeah.
Did you see what list he got attached to?
Tuesday? Vice presidential candidates.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That Robert Kennedy Jr., who of the Kennedy clan,
mm-hmm.
staging a third-party run mm-hmm. for the president,
mm-hmm.
has a short list of running mate candidates. Robert Kennedy Jr. Spoke out about vaccinations.
And he needed somebody to pick up on that file. And
Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets quarterback, is one of the guys.
God.
How can you be running for vice president and quarterbacking the New York Jets at the same time? Election is still November, right? They're not moving that.
I can't wait to get measles. It's going to be so great.
Would it not be the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever if on the eve of training camp he says, you know what, guys? My heart's just not in football anymore. I'm running with Robert Kennedy Jr. to be vice president.
On a certainly doomed to fail presidential
candidate. Going to retire. But you know what? Save me a spot. Mid-November, I might be back.
Oh, my gosh. Bizarre.
Tony Robbins, Jesse Ventura, the former Minnesota governor and wrestling commentator, also on the short list for Kennedy and his running mates.
Hmm. I thought higher of Jesse Ventura. Okay.
Jesse, the body. Okay. Poll question results. Tim Horton's poll question results from Tuesday. Do you have faith Casey DeSmith will handle the starter's workload? Yes or no? What did the people say?
They said yes.
They said yes resoundingly. Percentage?
88.
Very good. Right on the number. VJ.
Cheater.
Did he look?
I'm not.
Did you see him looking?
You're looking at my screen, Grady. My God.
VJ, I like DeSmith, but I fear the sky is falling in true Don Taylor fashion. And when Demko comes back, he won't be the same. Curse continues. Gosh, I hope not. Yeah, VJ, I'd let my mind wander to that this week as well. Donnie's great phrase about impending doom always being around the corner. You could build a case for that with, you know, nothing at the deadline, Demko injury, Joshua on LTIR, which, you know, right now it seems benign, but who knows? We'll see if Myers comes back this week. But the building blocks are in place here for impending doom.
Honestly,
for really the first time all season.
But honest to God, they've got 16 games left. I think as few as 8 wins can win them the division.
And I get that, Blake. But of course, this is a fan base that has been burned and burned and burned before. Ryder. He's had runs as a starter in the past and is efficient in his movements, so he can handle the workload. As always, confidence is key, especially as a goalie, and it can affect the whole team confidence, hoping he can have a good start and will roll from there. Great points there from Ryder. Confidence will be key, and yes, confidence in the goaltender is something successful hockey teams require. So it's a two-way street there. And Jazz says the team has to change in front, otherwise he might get under too much pressure. The team has to block some of the high-scoring shots. And we heard from Rick Tocchet earlier in the show saying, hey, you know, you tend to block shots for a goalie you like, and he's well-liked in this room. I got to say, too, he's given us some incredible sound bites after games, Casey DeSmith. You know, it's not always easy for an athlete fresh off the ice, exhausted mentally, physically, to characterize the proceedings as articulately
mm-hmm.
and as honestly and with the feeling and emotion that Casey DeSmith has provided to us after some of these games this year. And he has spoken glowingly about this franchise, about this coaching staff, about that room full of guys. So that part I feel really good about with Casey DeSmith in the starter's net for the Canucks. Lengthy list of errors and omissions, I'm afraid. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
were we bad yesterday. I said Edmonton swept the weekend. They lost in Buffalo. You said Minnesota pulled the goalie in OT last night. It was Sunday night. I got Allmark's save percentage and goals against incorrect. Was looking at the playoffs as opposed to the regular season. And Grady, anything else, I fear?
No.
Really? Is that the list? Just four?
I'm sure Colin or your key will find four. Something. But not to my knowledge. Yeah, you're making it. You're making more errors now.
Oh, yeah.
Flush it.
Just flush it.
And that French team, Lyon.
Oh, my gosh. People hear that and they're going to think it's L-Y-O-N.
Like the city?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. A reminder to subscribe to us, Rinkwide Vancouver, back at it on Wednesday after the game against the Avalanche and Canucks Conversation. Follow on Twitter, social Twitter, Insta, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Of course, we are live 11:30 every morning on many of those platforms. We're also at Park Casino, 6 to 7 p.m. tonight. BC Kitchen, stop on by, say hi, live pregame show on location steps away from Rogers Arena. And, of course, support those community sponsors you hear us talking about. Keep it local.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.